Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Good evening, everybody. My name is Adedayo Babalola, and tonight we are going on a teaching that we have titled The Gospel in Genesis, and this is part 7. Tonight we will be visiting again the truth in the book of Genesis. And I want to encourage you to share this with your friends. You will be blessed and you'll be transformed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we believe and receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We are edified and your name is glorified. This is part 7, and it's so obvious that we have gone through 7 parts, right, to reach where we are today. The first thing we'd like to say to you as you go on this journey with us is that we have said so far that this book is not about many things. This book is about Jesus. This book is about Jesus. It's about salvation that is found in Christ. And it's about information that gives you how to live out the salvation that is in Christ. Let me show you this from the Bible in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." What? From a child. He's talking to Timothy here. "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." What is holy scriptures? Holy means something set apart. Holy means set apart for a particular purpose. Scriptures means writings. So holy scripture would mean writings that are set apart for a particular purpose. It says you have known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. So what is the scripture gifted, or what is the ability that the scripture has? The ability that the scripture has is that it helps you understand salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Look at the scriptures again. 2 Timothy 3:15. "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures," the set apart writings. So the Bible can be called set apart writings that talk about salvation that is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, that's what we're looking at. It says, "You have known the set apart writings," right? So it is peculiar. The Bible is holy, meaning it is set apart. It is peculiar for a particular purpose. What is the purpose of the Bible? The purpose of the Bible is to reveal salvation that is in Jesus. Look at it. "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." Look at the next verse. It now says these writings that show you salvation in Jesus Christ, when you learn them, it says they are given, these scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for teaching, that's doctrine, for reproof, right, for correction, for instruction. So it's saying this same book that tells you about salvation, when you read it, you will learn about Jesus. And in learning about Jesus, you will be instructed. You will be corrected. You will be directed. So the Bible is a book about Jesus. It's a book about salvation in Jesus. When you read it and you see the salvation that is in Jesus, it brings instruction, correction to you. Reproof. Amen. Praise God. Right, so having said that, we are going to be looking at the book of Genesis. So if the book of Genesis is a book in the Bible, it is part of what we'll call Holy Scriptures. It means that book called Genesis has one theme. It's talking about salvation in Jesus Christ. Over the last 6 weeks, we have looked at different people who heard the message of salvation and they believed. We started off with Adam and Eve. We realize that Eve rejected the gospel because she was deceived. So did Adam too. Then the next person we heard about, Enoch, you know, Abel and Cain. We hear of how Abel believed the gospel and Cain rejected the gospel. We heard after that time about Enoch. Enoch believed the gospel in the midst of many people in his generation. We also heard about a man called Noah who believed the gospel in his generation. And now we are on a man called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, but we're in 13 today. Genesis chapter 12, we talk about Abraham who believed the gospel. Where did the was the gospel preached to Abraham? Look at Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. This is the gospel that was preached to Abraham, and Abraham believed the gospel. What is the gospel? Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and out of thy kindred, from thy father's house, and a land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you, and make thee your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was the gospel that was preached to Abraham. How do I know that was the gospel? Open your Bible to Galatians chapter 3. I'm trying to get a foundation going here. Galatians chapter 3. All right? Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Galatians 3 verse 8. It says, and the scripture, right? The writings, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. So the gospel was preached to Abraham. So the book of Genesis is talking about different people who heard the gospel and their response to the gospel. You getting it? So it's now telling us that Abraham is peculiar in that generation because the gospel was preached to Abraham. How was the gospel preached to Abraham? Get thee out of your country, and I will bless you and make you a blessing. In thee shall all the ends of the earth be blessed. Right? That's the gospel to Abraham. And look at it in verse 8. Galatians 3 verse 8. It says, for seeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And what did Abraham do? Abraham believed. What did Abraham do after he believed the gospel? He left. So the gospel said, leave your father's house to a place I'll show you. And what did Abraham do? Abraham believed and he left. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like you and I today, the Bible says we have a calling. We're called from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. So when the gospel was preached to you, you were called. Are you hearing me? We have a calling. We were called and we answered the call. What was the calling? Come out of darkness into light. The same thing that happened to Abraham. Get out of your father's house of darkness to a place I will show you. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed. Abraham left. Amen. So just the same way Abraham was called, we are called. We are called into Christ. Amen. Abraham was called to believe on a coming Messiah, Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope I am not too fast. Right? So we've shared a lot of this in Genesis chapter 12. But today our theme really is we have a couple of principles we want to get across to us tonight in this teaching. And you know, we're looking at Genesis chapter 13 and Genesis chapter 14 tonight. Right? Amen. In Genesis chapter 13, what do we see here? We see that Abraham, in Genesis 12, Abraham left his father's house, right, with his cousin called Lot. So when Abraham left, meaning he believed the gospel, Lot too left with Abraham. So we can say Lot was a believer just like Abraham. In fact, we can say Abraham was the minister who ministered to Lot. So Abraham heard the gospel, he believed the gospel, and then he preached the gospel to Lot. Lot also believed the gospel, so they came out together, right? So in them coming out together, so I want to put this in perspective because I want to show you a principle here today. Abraham and Lot. Abraham believed the gospel. Abraham preached the gospel to Lot. Lot believed the gospel. Abraham and Lot were together. Notice something here. Right? Then look at Genesis 13 verse 6. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Right? So Abraham left his father's house. Lot left his father's house. So they were both wealthy people. Right? They were very wealthy people. And like we can see here, there was strife between the camp of Abraham and the camp of Lot. their headsmen were fighting. So look at what Abraham said in verse 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife amongst you, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my headsmen and your headsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou would take the left, then I will go the right. If you depart to the right, then I will go the left. See what Abraham did. Abraham did not want strife in the camp. So Abraham would say to Lot, Lot, take your things, choose anywhere you want to go to, I will go the other way. Is that not a noble thing to say? But I want you to see something very important here. Remember, Abraham preached the gospel to Lot. Lot believed, Lot followed. So we can say Abraham was the mentor, was the spiritual leader of Lot. Abraham now said, so the success of Lot is tied to his following Abraham. Are you getting it? So now Lot has become big, just like Abraham had become big. And Abraham is telling Lot, Lot, go anywhere you like. What did Lot do? Look at verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered. Where everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou hast come unto Zoar. Then the Lord chose of the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward, and separated himself from his master. Right? So this is the point. Abram told Lot, Lot, pick anywhere. What did Lot do? Lot looked at the field. He looked physically. From what he saw physically, he saw the beautiful land of Jordan. Now he saw the beautiful land of Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. And he went that way. What was the problem with Lot? Lot had been with his master for a very long time. His master had mentored him. His master had taught him. When it was time to actually, when their master now says, pick a place, Lot should have said, Master, what place would you pick for me? Because the point here is, the problem with Lot was the fact that Lot separated. I'll say it again. Lot separated from Abraham and went far away. Away from his influence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Lot went far away, away from his influence. In going far away, away from his influence, what happens to Lot? We're going to see that later. What should Lot have done? So what am I teaching us today? In the gospel in Genesis, the first principle we are seeing on here is the principle of influence and mentorship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The principle of influence and mentorship. Lot was with Abraham. And we're going to see how much Lot will suffer for the decision that he made. Let me tell you something. Lot looked at the land, and the land was beautiful. Lot looked at the land, and the land was lush, was posh, was all of those things. Lot looked at the land. And he was looking from a carnal perspective. And what ends up happening to Lot? Lot chose from a carnal perspective. And what ends up happening to this man? This man does what? This man goes in a way that brings him destruction. The same place that Lot was, that looked so beautiful, became a place that was destroyed. We're going to see that later. Later on, we are going to see Lot end up losing his wife, picking up strange habits, and getting into a lot of problems. Why? Because this man called Lot went away from the influence of his leader. The point is, what is God trying to teach us here? Man is a being of influence. Amen. Man is a being of influence. Because man is a being of influence, what ends up happening to man? What man sees over a while, he is able to replicate. Amen. Praise the Lord. What man sees over a while, he is able to replicate. So look at what happens to Lot here. Lord, I'll say it again. We are in Genesis 13. We are in verse 12, right? And Abraham in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Right? So, what should Lot have said? Lot should have said, wherever you go, I will go. Lot should have said, whatever you say, I would, whatever you say, I say. Lot should have said, whatever you do, I do. But what did Lot do? Lot was going on his own, acting on his own, and he ended up getting into trouble. He ended up getting into trouble. That was what happened to Lot. Lot was a man who always chose what he could see. And when a man chooses only what he can see, he ends up getting into trouble because there is something better. What the Spirit will have a man do? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So when a man is to make a decision, he doesn't go by what he sees. Lot was going by what he saw, and he got into trouble. He got into trouble in such a way that the place he was influenced him so badly. Why am I emphasizing this? A lot of Christians can be like that today. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see what happens in verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So what happened? Lot picks an area. He goes into that area. Because of the people living in that area, oh my God, Lot suffered a lot. Let me show you from the Bible. How did his suffering begin? His suffering began when he left his leader, when he left his master, when he left, the Bible says he separated from his master. What? So he went in a place so far, the influence of his father and his spiritual leader could not reach him anymore. What was influencing him? The people he could see around. Let me show you from the New Testament how the Bible describes the story of Lot. What am I teaching you here tonight? I'm teaching you just one principle so far. The principle of influence and spiritual leadership. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to be reading verse 6. It says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should lead ungodly life. So the Bible tells us that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is an example, a type and shadow of what happens to people who don't believe the gospel. What happened to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed. Why? They did not believe. But there was somebody in Sodom and Gomorrah that believed. What is his name? Lot. So, should Lot have been found in Sodom and Gomorrah? No. Who went to Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot. He went by himself. And when he went there by himself, let's see what the Bible says about Lot. Verse 7. God had to deliver Lot. Look at verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot. 2 Peter 2 verse 7. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them in sin and hearing, vexed his righteous though from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Can you imagine the state of the man called Lot? Let's read it again. He says, God had to deliver Lot. He delivered Lot. Yeah, the beauty about it is that when people make mistakes, the beauty about it is that God comes with deliverance. We're going to see how God delivers. God delivers through men. God comes to deliver Lot, right? We're in verse 7. He says, what did the people of Sodom and Gomorrah do? They vexed Lot. Meaning, Lot experienced, he saw and heard and lived with things he ought to not have known at all. You see, there are a lot of people who have left the place of spiritual leadership. They've left the place of where their mentors can reach them. Why? Because the kind of results their mentor sees, they are now seeing. That's what this is. Because the Bible is a book about the gospel. It's about doctrine. Lot was seeing the result. Abraham was seeing. And then, when it was time to choose, Lot went to the place of evil. He did not actually say, oh, master, you know what? You have led me so far. We have walked together so far. Where do I go? Lot went with his, what he could see. That's what the Bible says. It was a beautiful land. He went to a place where wickedness reigned. And that land, though he did not die, that land destroyed Lot. The Bible says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy. Look at those words. They were unbelievers. Filthy conversation of the wicked. He lived amongst wicked people. Look at what I said. For that righteous man dwelling amongst them, in seeing and hearing. You see influence? Seeing and hearing. Lot married in Sodom. Lot gave birth to children in Sodom. So guess what happens to Lot? Just for a summary, so you see the impact, the implication, the evil that can happen when you go on your own, you leave spiritual leadership, you leave spiritual mentorship, you leave the voice of your teachers because you are getting the same kind of... This is not a threatening message. This is just learning. The Bible says in the book of Romans 15 verse 4, the things that are written are four times. They are written for our learning. So that through the patience of scriptures, we may have hope. Right? So we see this man Lot. What happens to his wife? He marries in Sodom. Right? What happens to this man? He gives birth in Sodom. So he would have seen the practices of Sodom. The Bible says in seeing and hearing. His children grew up in Sodom and picked up the practices of Sodom. Do you know what that later ends up to him? We're going to see it in our other series. When they are leaving Sodom, because of the evil in the land, because Sodom is about to be destroyed, Lot's wife that he picked from that area, whatever ends up happening, she does not particularly get saved because the woman that Lot married was not a believer. That's why that a type and shadow, he said, she turned into salt, meaning she did not make it out, meaning she was destroyed, right? So she did not believe. Lot's wife did not believe. Amen. Lot married an unbeliever. The import of just that distance. Lot made the decisions on his own. Married an unbeliever. What happens? Lot gives birth to children. Interestingly, these children believe, but they had picked up very weird practices. What happens to them? When they get away from Sodom, and they were just three in the land. Do you know what they said? The elder one spoke to the younger one, and the younger one spoke to the elder one and said, you know what? We don't have anybody here. How they were thinking? Let us sleep with our dad so we can have children to sustain our lineage. And that's how they ended up drugging their dad and sleeping with him and giving birth to children in that direction. Where did they learn these practices? They learned the practices in Sodom. So though they are out of Sodom, Sodom's practices were still with them. Why? They lived, they breathed, they were born in Sodom. Amen. What is Sodom? Sodom is typification of people that do not believe. Let's look at how the psalmist says the same thing. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is that who is around you is important. That's what the gospel is teaching you today. Who is around you is important. Who around you influences you? Influences you for good and for evil. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. The people around you, even the Bible says in the book of Proverbs as well. But let's read Psalms first. It says, he that walks with the wise will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Praise the Lord. He that walks with the wise will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Okay? Meaning, who is around you? Who do you listen to? Whose counsel do you take? Do you do life all by yourself? This is exactly what happened to Lot. Lot was a good guy. At some point, he was producing the same kind of results Abraham was producing. He was a believer like Abraham. Amen. But he left. And see, this is not about, as a person, you cannot leave a particular minister who maybe, no, it's about you separated yourself away from wise counsel. Then you see, ladies, don't marry a man that does not have somebody over him, that does not have somebody you can actually call and say, see, this person is behaving this way, and the person can be called. women, men don't actually have women around that are not submitted to spiritual leadership. It's a problem. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That they just do things on their own, make decisions on their own. No, no, no. The Bible says, right? Okay, look at Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What did Lot do? He was standing in the way of sinners and walking with the ungodly, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. He says, the man that doesn't go this way is blessed. We are talking about the gospel in Genesis. We are talking about doctrine, what we can learn, reproof. Remember we started off from 2 Timothy 3:15. Reproof, correction, doctrine, instruction in righteousness. We see that even in the gospel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Genesis. We are in Genesis 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, look at it. The Bible says in verse 13 that the people of Sodom were very, very wicked. But any which way, Lot left. And in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot had left, right? He said, lift up your eyes. So God re-emphasized the gospel to Abraham, right? He says, lift up the eyes. Look from the place that thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. He was saying, look everywhere. So God was trying to give Abraham vision. He says, look everywhere. For all the land which thou seest, will I give to thee and to thy seed. Please, I want to say something very important here. What did God say to Abraham? He said he will give the land to Abraham and his seed. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Please follow me carefully tonight. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. When he said he will give the land to Abraham and his seed, who did God talk? Was God talking about? He wasn't talking about Isaac. Look at verse 16. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. What was the promise? This land will I give to you. Right? Look everywhere. Not what is where I will give the land to you. He says he made the promise to Abraham and his seed. When he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. He says that seed is Christ. So the Bible is saying, please, I want you to follow me tonight on this aside. Because you know the Bible, like I said, though we have picked up one principle that is, right, and something that you should learn about influence and people that come around you, we are picking up something else that we should learn, that the Bible is talking about Jesus. So when he says, and to Abraham and his seed I will give the land, what did he mean? He said the seed is talking about there. It's not Isaac and all the other. He says the seed he's talking about there is Christ. So the point is, God is saying, I will give a land to Abraham and his seed. So it means there is a land God will give to Jesus Christ. Abraham and his seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. So the point is, please, I want you to note, when God was talking about a land, God was not talking about a physical land. The physical land was a type and shadow of a spiritual land. Amen. The land, let's look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. So when God says, I will give a land, that land is not physical. That land was spiritual. A land. I will give a land. Can I say it better? I will give a, just write it down. I will give a country. I will give a people to you. Okay, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. Please, I want you to follow me tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when God talks about a land, a land will be the substance of what is hoped for. It is the evidence of that which is not seen. So when God talks about a land, it will not be something you can physically see, because they entered into it by faith. Are you hearing? So, okay, it says, Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if God says, I will give you a land, it cannot be a physical land. But in case you did not believe me, look at Hebrews 11, verse 9. Look at it from verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out, just what we just read in Genesis 12, when he was called out to go into a place which he will receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, remember, faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So there will be a substance. What will be the substance? The physical land, which will be a substance of what is coming, a spiritual land. Okay, let's continue. By faith, when he was called out, he went. Look at verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the promise. Look at verse 10. It tells you by yourself. It says, for he looked for a city. We started from a land. The Bible is saying, Abraham looked for a city. If he was looking for a city, it means it's not the city he was living in. It was another city. I know a lot of people about into this Israel, Pakistani, they would not like this. But it's the truth regarding this. For he looked for a city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So even Abraham knew that the land of Israel was not the land God was talking about. The land of Israel was a physical typology of the spiritual thing God will do. You getting it? So even says Abraham himself was looking for another kind of city. A city whose foundation and builder is God, Spirit. Okay, let's continue. It says, right, look at verse 15. Right? Look at, even look at verse 13. They all died in faith, not receiving the promise. So what was the promise? The promise is that I will give you a land. I will give you a country. We have said so far that the country, the land, was not something physical. Right? So he says they all died. They did not receive it because the promise and the person the promise was even made to had not come, Jesus Christ. So he says, look at it. He says, they all died in faith, having not, verse 13, having not received the promise, but they saw it afar off. They saw it with the eyes of faith. And they were persuaded of them. They believed that God would give them a land. But what kind of land is it? It says, and they embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So the land God will give them was not a land on the earth. Amen. I'm reading from the Bible. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. So Abraham and all the believers, they knew that though God said, I will give you a land, to you and your seed, they knew clearly that it was not a physical land that they could see. So they have been saying, God has promised us something. It is coming. So they knew that it was not Israel, the physical Israel that we have today. It was not that piece of land. It was something deeper. Look at it. It says here, verse 15, and truly, if they have been mindful of the country from whence they came out, if they thought it was a city. So God has promised Abraham a city. He said, in that city, there will be numerous people like the dust of the earth. What was that promise? He says he promised it to Abraham and to Christ. What is that promise? What is that country? What is that place? Why am I sharing this with you? I'm trying to show you here something very crucial. That God is a faithful God. God promised Abraham something, and years after Abraham had died, that if God did not do anything about the promise, nobody hold him to it. But our faithful God said something to Abraham, said something to all the lineage, said it was a promise to be seed. The promise we have, the fact that Jesus Christ will come, and he will die, and he will come out of the grave, and he will actually create a new kingdom. A new land. That land of Israel is the new creation life today. That land of Israel is the church today. For everyone that has believed the gospel, we are that dust of the earth that is so plenty that Abraham could not count. We are the fulfillment of the promise that God promised to Abraham, that a city will emerge, a country, a people, a land, not physical, heavenly, meaning this raw material, the source
of this land will not be of this earth, but of the spirit. We are now members of that heavenly country. Look at it. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 tells us more about that land. Hebrews 12, 22. What am I trying to just show you here? God is faithful. He promised a land to Abraham. Abraham knew that land was not a physical land. A physical land that, you know, the Israel, Tel Aviv that we know today. He says it was a city whose builder and maker is God. They hoped and desired a country heavenly. They confessed it. They embraced it. They believed it. They even said, we are pilgrims on this earth because God has promised us a heavenly country. That was the behavior of Abraham. They knew that God had promised them something. But we are the reality of that promise. Praise God. This is shocking stuff. Hebrews 12, 22. He now tells us, you have come to Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? The promise that God promised to Abraham has become a reality. What is Mount Zion? He says it there. And to the city of the living God. So that city, that land that was called Israel in Genesis 12 and in Genesis 13, that same land is now called the city of the living God. The city that God himself built. Amen. He says, an heavenly Jerusalem. So when God was promising land, was he promising the physical Jerusalem that we have over there, right, in the Middle East? No. God's Jerusalem is a heavenly Jerusalem. The Jerusalem in the Middle East is just a type and shadow, a pointer, is a picture of the reality. Amen and amen. So the reality has come. We can leave the type and shadow alone. Are you getting the point? But you know, people are very stuck on type and shadow. Right? It's just like, for example, I don't know if I can say this and say it and you get my meaning. In the days of old, right, people used oil. Oil was a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit coming on people. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has not physically come in, live into people. It doesn't live in people. Then, the Holy Ghost came. The church was born. The Holy Ghost lives in people. Do people need oil today? No. But there are sometimes you tell people, see, does God work with oil today? Yes. Because God meets people at the level of their belief. But the truth is, those things were pointers to the reality. So my question, is there somewhere called Israel today? Yes. Is there somewhere called Jerusalem today? Yes. But what are they? They are just pictures. They are pointers to what God will do in the Church of Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that, Pastor Dio? It simply means a people called out, not based on what they did or their ability, not the biggest of people or the best of people, or if they are just a selection of God. And the selection of grace gets them to have the glory of God. A type and shadow of the reality. The Church of Christ. A called out people. They are called out not because of any other thing, of any of their works, but because of what they have done. What have they done? They believed on Jesus Christ. Right? Who did the work? Jesus did the work. So that is what he's talking about here. So Jerusalem's essence was just to point to the real heavenly Jerusalem. Are you following me tonight? Hebrews 12, 22. You have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, of ministers. He says, I'm telling you what is in God's city. That's what he's telling you now. That city that God promised Abraham. He's telling you that city has become a reality. He said, what is in that city? He says, what is the name of that city? The city of the living God. Another name for the city, heavenly Jerusalem. What do we find in the city? Innumerable company of ministers, angels. What else do we find in the city? To the general assembly. The city is the church of the firstborn. So Israel, Jerusalem, what were they pointing to? The church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and to the God and the spirit of and the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus Christ, who did the work through his blood. Amen. What did I say here? I said all this to say one thing. God promised Abraham something. What did he promise Abraham? That the dust of the earth would be like the children that will come from him. Who are those children? These children will be found in Christ. That's why he says the promise was to him and to the seed. And that seed is Christ. Jesus is that man. That through him, and I'm through him, as many as believe, and you have seen many people around the world believe, the promises of God has become a reality. Just like the dust of the earth. There are many people today who have believed the gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like he said. Look, Genesis 13, 16. Let's continue. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, so then shall thy seed also be numbered. So he was trying to say, it is going to be, you will not be able to number the amount of people who will be born again. It will be innumerable. You can't number them. Like the dust of the earth. He says, arise. Walk through the land in the length and the breadth of it. For I will give it all to thee. So what was God saying? God was saying, expand your vision. Physically, Abraham, you are a man who at the moment has a wife that a wife cannot even successfully give birth to a child. God is now telling you, oh, glory to God. God is now telling Abraham, relax. You, this same you, whose wife cannot give birth to a child, the children that will come from you will be innumerable. What did Abraham say? I believe. Glory to God. Amen. Let me show you in the book of Genesis 15 verse 6. Go there quickly. God, you know, I'll show you something else. The power of continuous mention. Do you know what God kept doing? God kept telling the gospel to Abraham. Genesis 12, he told him. 1 and 2 is there. Genesis 13, he told him. You see it in 12, 13, 14. He told him. Genesis 15 again, he told him. 3, 4, 5. Let me tell you something, brother. If Abraham needed to hear the gospel again and again and again and again and again, guess what? You need to hear the gospel over and over and over the lifetime. Write it down. Enjoy the repetition that comes from hearing the gospel over and over again. When we hear the gospel, you know, a lot of people just get bored. They always want to hear something new. The Bible says they have itching ears. That's how you get into trouble. No, we hear this. It's the same thing. Look at it again. God that told him in Genesis 12 is the same God that told him in Genesis 13. Is God stupid? No. There is something about the mind of man that needs repetition. Are you a minister of the gospel listening to me around the world today? Remember that your flock, they need to hear the message again and again and again and again and again. Are you a disciple? And you know that your ministry, which is what every disciple should be, teaching other men. Guess what? You will tell them the same thing over and over and over and over. Where did you learn repetition from? You learned it from the greatest repetitor. He wrote 66 books and they are all saying the same thing. Again and again and again. When he was dealing with Abraham, all he was telling Abraham was the gospel again and again and again. The gospel is not something you hear once. The gospel is something you hear daily. Write it down. Amen. Look at it again. God again, the same God that told him in Genesis 14. In fact, in every chapter, he kept telling him. Every chapter, he will say it. Every chapter, I'm going to teach about how he told him in Genesis 14 next week. It's going to be very, very beautiful. That's where we're going to talk about Melchizedek. We're going to talk about Melchizedek. We're going to talk about the gospel. We're going to talk about tithing and all of that next week. But I want to go to Genesis 15. Look at it for yourself. The same God that told him in Genesis 12, the same thing. Told him the same thing in Genesis 13. If you want to write in your notes, Genesis 12, he wrote it in 1, 2, 3. Genesis 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. In Genesis 13, you see it from Genesis 13, 10, 11 to 17. The same gospel. In Genesis 14, he sent a man to Abraham called Melchizedek to say the same thing. Preach the gospel to Abraham. In Genesis 15, God comes to Abraham again, saying what? The same thing. My brother, your mind needs the gospel daily. Amen. Your mind needs the gospel daily. That is why we do devotion. We don't do devotion for God's sake. We do the devotion for your sake. Amen. You need the renewal of your mind daily. Look at Genesis 15.
right? Hey, dear God. I'm going to be reading verse 4. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Let me say something to you. Do you know that the answer to man's anxiety is the gospel? Amen. When he was not born again, what did God, when he was not a believer, what did God share with Abraham? Genesis 12, the gospel. Genesis 12, get out of your land to a country I will show you. When his Lot left Abraham, what did God share with Abraham? The gospel. You know, people think that self-help tools is how we change men. No, no. Keep feeding men the gospel. Teach that man the gospel, he'll be a better husband. Teach him the gospel, he'll be a better wife. Or you should be a better wife. God forgive me. Be a better husband. No. Why? Teach that brother the gospel. He will be a better student. I mean, he will be a better disciple. He will be better for ministry. When a man is anxious, what do you teach him? The gospel. When a man is going through trials, what do you give him? The gospel. The gospel is our multifaceted truth for the situations of life. Amen. How do we know? That's what God did with Abraham. You know, Abraham, in Genesis 13, his cousin just left him. What did God tell him? The gospel. Like you're going to see in Genesis 14 again, because Lot put Abraham in a lot of trouble. Right? What did God tell Abraham in Genesis 14, after he went to deliver Lot from trouble? The gospel. When Lot was going through a challenge, what did he tell him? You know, people think we need to change our message. We need to make it seeker friendly. No. It's the same thing. Because there is power in that message. Look at Genesis 15. Genuine concern of Abraham. Genesis 15. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy great and exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, you see, one of the things you realize about those that have a genuine relationship with God is that they talk about genuine, practical, everyday things. Lord, I am not saying I don't get this thing, but I just want to tell you that, you know what? I need a child. You know, a lot of people get so religious, they cannot talk to God about things that are things that they maybe be struggling with. And it's interesting. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, it is a weird kind of religion that teaches you not to have conversations with the Lord. Selah. So, God just gave Abraham a word in a vision. What did Abraham tell him? Verse 2. And Abraham said unto the Lord, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And you see, when you read the Old Testament, you realize, see how people had conversations with the Lord. But it's strange today. Believers can have conversations with the Lord about practical things. Why? Religion is the one that causes that. He says, listen, Lord, I know you told me I'm your my reward and all of that. But listen to it now. He said, Lord, when are you going to give me a child? Seeing that I go childless. And the steward in my house, Eliezer of Damascus, is going to be my heir. Look at verse 3. And Abraham said, behold, to me, thou hast given no seed. This is Abraham that God had told in Genesis 12 and Genesis 13. Thy seed shall multiply throughout the earth. What does it mean? It means that the mind of man needs the gospel to remember what the gospel says, because sometimes in life, the mind forgets. Amen. Why? You look at experiences and look around and it looks like, okay, God said seed. From what I am seeing now, there are no seeds. You know, there is nothing wrong in saying, God, Alpha, what's going on? Can we have a conversation, right? I don't understand what you said, but what's going on? I don't understand this thing. So, God is not angry. You know, and that's why God is not angry to deal with your physical needs, though they are bigger things. You just must see it that way.
God was talking to Abraham about the church. In the beginning, he said, get out. Abraham got out. He told Abraham in Genesis 13, your seed shall be plenty. Abraham said, okay, not a problem. By Genesis 15, do you see the importance of the gospel? Hearing the gospel over and over again. By Genesis 15, he was telling Abraham about the gospel, about the seed. God said, Abraham said, wait, hold on. You are talking about seed. You are talking about seed. I don't even have a child. My maid is going to take over all my good. What are you going to do about that? See what God said. Amen. Genesis 15. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast not as given no seed, and lo, one born in my house shall be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, did you notice God did not say, how dare you talk back to me? How dare you ask me for a seed? Have I not told you? No. God comes. Listen, God loves man. It's religion that makes it look like God is a problem. This man, God preached the gospel to Abraham in Genesis 12, 13, 14. In 15, Abraham says, you didn't give me any seed. He didn't say, how dare you? Are you crazy? Do you know I'm God? God comes back to Abraham off of that discussion. Amen. It's just like when it's the same thing. Jesus Christ, he came out of the grave. They told the disciples, your boss has come out of the grave. They said, no, we do not believe until we see his side, until we see his this, until we see his that. Jesus came and said, Thomas, look at my side. Look at it, touch it, and believe. He wasn't angry. He wasn't. He said, look at my side and believe. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. There is a relationship so real that we have with the Lord. He hears us. You see, we go back to Abraham. He told Abraham, I got no child of my own. God was talking about the seed. God was talking about Christ. God was talking about the church. But this was Abraham who was just bothered about a child. And what did God say to Abraham? Look at Genesis 15. As we conclude now. Genesis 15. And Abraham said, oh, there's nobody in my house to have the heir. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. So God did not avoid the matter. While God was talking to Abraham about Christ, the church, the new creation life, as early as Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, and he saw that Abraham, God's man, as at Genesis 15, could you say he was depressed? Could you say, though he had believed, he was going through a rough time? What did God do? God sent again the word to him. What is the... You know, people think you need to twist the word, turn the word, water down the word. The word is our multi-purpose. The word of Christ is our multi-purpose. Is what we give to men. When you are anxious, is the word of Christ. The gospel of our salvation. The new creation truth. We give it to men again. When men are happy, we give them the word of Christ. When men are depressed, we give them the word of Christ. When they are going through a bad time, we give them the word of Christ. That's what we do. That's what God did here with Abraham. Amen. Praise God. After God said to Abraham, that see, I'm going to deal with this issue of you not having a child. You're going to have a child. God goes back to talking about what is the bigger deal. Are you hearing? You see that now? You know, it's just like for sometimes I want to teach the gospel to somebody and the person is sick. I'll say, let me heal you first in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's deal with this smaller. Because what I see about you is that you're meant to do great and mighty things for God. But okay, this sickness is the one that is a big deal for you. Let's deal with it. When we finish dealing with the sickness, we now take you into it. Amen. Just like somebody is overwhelmed about, you know, overwhelmed about things of this earth. They are the little things. That's why you don't base your ministry on giving things. God will give you this, God will give you that. It's the lowest form of ministry. There is a greater one. Telling people about the Christ that we have believed. Telling people. So when he met the need, amen. When he met the need of that, he told him, don't worry, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. The child is going to come through your loins. It goes back to the gospel. Why? The gospel is the real deal. Amen. All right. Look at it. Look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look upward. What was happening to Abraham? Abraham was depressed. Abraham was not happy. Abraham physically had been hearing about promises that he had not even seen a physical child. Abraham, what did God do?
God, by the word, gave Abraham a new vision. The same thing he had told him in 12 and 13 about his seed being plenty, about the dust of the ground being like the seed, talking about the church. He tells him again with another kind of example. Amen. Amen. Another kind of example. He says, okay, now look up. You know, before he said the seed, the dust of the ground. He now says, now this one, look up. Why? You have been looking down. You have been depressed. You have forgotten what I've said. So he tells him again the message. He says, look up. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Let's conclude now. He says, look now towards heaven and tell the stars. If you go into Israel today and you look up at night, you're going to see the stars. I don't know if you've been into those kind of countries before. The stars are so many, you don't even bother counting them. God had seen that Abraham was in a state, you know, he was in a state of depression. He was thinking about his earthly materiality and what he could be and what he is not. And so, oh, I'm supposed to have a child. I don't have a child. And God says, that's not the big deal. There is still a promise. The fact that through you, men will know the gospel. Through you, through your seed, men, the church will be born. Through you, through you. But he couldn't see that now. So God dealt with the first one, then said, look towards heaven. If you can tell the stars, and if you're able to number them, he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, and he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Did you notice something? In Genesis 12, did he believe? Yes. Genesis 13, the gospel was told to me, did he believe? Yes. When he was going to a downtime in Genesis 15, what was given to him? The gospel again. Why? The believer, the man of God, the believer, the pastor, the brother, every one of us, we need to keep hearing. Hearing the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing it to renew our minds. Hearing it to excite us. Hearing it to give us a new vision. As you feed on God's word, feed on the message of Christ, it broadens your vision. It resharpens your vision. You remember the things that God has told you before about this message of Christ. So that is what keeps you burning. That it makes you not burn out. That very same message. The answer to God for the man of God is the word. The answer to God for the brother is the word. For the depressed man is the word. For the one that wants a child is the word. Why? Because it's more than a child that you need. You need the revelation of Jesus. It's more than a healing that you need. You need the revelation of Jesus. While the healing will be taken care of, listen, as you are listening to me, if you were sick, you'll be healed. That's how the anointing flows with me anyway. But there is something bigger, a revelation of Jesus. That revelation changing your life, and you tell other men about the same gospel. If you have learned anything today, amen, praise God, bless God for the truth of God's word where you are. And remember, we have shared about the faithfulness of God, the power of mentorship, the power of repeating the truth of the gospel, knowing that that is all that man needs in this day and in this age. Till we come your way again, it's been a wonderful time sharing the word of God with you. God bless you and have a good evening. Amen.